Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The parable of the laborers in the vineyard is our text this morning, as it teaches us that God is generous. He hires us. That is, he brings us into his work. Think about this text in this perhaps new way. God allows us to participate in his work, the work he could do all by himself. He opens the door and allows us to come and be his employees to work with him, the work of saving sinners from eternal death and damnation, the greatest work there is to do. He allows us to participate in that. In the parable, we hear how generous, how gracious God truly is. The point of the whole thing is God's generosity. He can do what he wants with what belongs to him. He is God, after all. And what he wants to do is be generous, be gracious, merciful. He wants to give his treasure to all equally. Despite what anyone has done, or more accurately, not done, to earn it. This is the gospel. This is Christ on the cross for you. Jesus died for all of us. No matter how long we've believed in him, no matter how strongly we've believed in him, he was crucified for all of you, to save all of you, to justify you in the eyes of God the Father. He can do what he wants with what belongs to him. And he chose to show you grace and forgive you of your sin, even while you were still his enemy, even while your heart was still inwardly focused, even while it was opposed to his law. He chose to die for you. While you were at odds with him, he chose to save you, to redeem you. But notice what else we learn from this parable. God chooses to pay workers equally despite how much work they've done. Who are the people who are getting paid? They are workers, right? Workers get paid. They're employed to do a job. We usually overlook this little detail in the text because it's not the primary point. We go right to the meat of the matter, God's generosity. Well, today let us learn a new lesson, one that is in concert with God's generosity, that stems from God's generosity. Consider the language of the text. It's employment language. Christians are employed by God. What does that mean? It means that we're justified by Christ. The cross, the atonement by the blood of Christ, that's our hieron date. That's the day that you were baptized into Jesus. That's your hieron date, when you were connected to the cross. That's the day you got to work. It's the day you were brought into the company, brought on board. You were hired by God to do work for God, to be a part of his saving labors in this world. Jesus died for you on the cross without you doing anything to deserve forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. See, you and I were standing idle in the marketplace. We were standing there leaning on our shovel doing nothing. No resume or portfolio to speak of. We didn't even have an application in our hand. We were unemployable for all intents and purposes. In fact, we were working against the prospect of getting a job in sin, actively doing the opposite of what applicants, hopeful applicants, should do. And Jesus comes to us and he does all the work. He says, oh, you're not looking for work? Well, I got work for you. Get to work. It's glorious. You'll like it. Go. Don't stand idle. Let me give you something to do. Let me give you something to have some integrity about. Let me give you a reason to live. Our getting hired is what Jesus did for us on the cross. And what he did goes to all for whom he has hired. All who don't refuse his grace. It goes to all of us equally. Despite how long we've been on his payroll, we get his treasure. Are you tracking with me? You understanding how I'm using this parable's language? It's employment language. I'm trying to use that and bring it out. We tend to overlook that we've been made workers. Workers do work. We hear that language of work and we think, law, I don't have to do anything for my salvation. True. This isn't about earning salvation. This is after you've been saved. This is now that you've been saved, even though you did nothing to earn being saved. Now that you've been saved, you can get to work. So we get this false understanding, this misunderstanding of what the gospel means for our lives. We misunderstand what it means to be free in Christ. We think it means we get to sit around sipping coffee on Main Street, gossiping about so-and-so, or relaxing with friends, going golfing, or whatever we do in our downtime, enjoying this or that leisure activity. That is to say, we tend to think that the gospel means we're collecting unemployment bennies, or that now we have a retirement check to live off of while we stand around doing nothing. To put it in the word of Dwight Schrute, false. False. This is not what it means to be saved by Jesus. That is not what it means to be a Christian. Christ did all the work to save you from your sins, as that beautiful hymn of Spiritus points out in detail. There it is, the right understanding of long gospel. He did all of that not so that you could do nothing, but so that you could finally, actually start doing something. Because before you were sitting around idle. Christ died on the cross so that he could save you from standing idle in the marketplace, leaning on your shovel. He died on the cross to hire you. And now that you've been hired, your job is to spread the generosity of Jesus with others, to tell the world about this man, Christ, Jesus, who saved you and gave you worth and gave you work. You are to literally tell people about Jesus. Not figuratively, not metaphorically, literally. That's your vineyard work. As one who's been saved by grace alone. Saved by grace alone, apart from works. These works come after salvation. They are what you are now motivated to do. Your salvation isn't dependent upon it, not at all. You don't have to do this work to be saved. You've already been hired. You've already been put on the books. But guess what? There are a lot of other people standing out there idle. There are a lot of other people who would like to get to work and just don't know it yet. Someone else's salvation is dependent upon your work of spreading the gospel. If you don't tell them about Jesus, if you don't invite them to church, who will? Are you working in the vineyard, or are you standing idle in the marketplace? Consider today's sermon an employee performance evaluation. I know. Most of you are retired. You don't work for a boss anymore. Yeah, wrong. You work for the greatest boss there ever has been. We don't ever retire from God, from the church. To do so, to retire from Jesus, is to deny Jesus. To reject your baptism, your hire on date, to quit Christianity and sin against the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to retire from Jesus. So unless you've done that, you haven't retired. Sorry to tell you, you're still working. But you have the greatest job there's ever been. The most rewarding labor you could ever do. Even in your old age, even in the oldest of age, you are still working for the Lord. Doing glorious work, joyful work, light work. And your neighbor's lives depend on it. God is working through you to save them, to bring them the good news of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. How are they to believe unless someone tells them about Jesus? Go look up Romans 10:15. Are you working or are you standing idle? Working is inviting people to church, is telling them about Jesus, literally using his name and in talking about what this guy named Jesus has done for them. It's listening. It's using your ears and hearing their problems, hearing what they need to know about Jesus, and then telling them that part about Jesus, rubbing ointment on their hurt. Sometimes removing the band-aid they think they have on to expose their hurt so that you can then heal it properly. Letting them know that Jesus died for them. Are you coming to church every chance you get? Getting involved in everything you can so that this church will stay open. We're not just serving our neighbors here and now. We're serving future neighbors. We want this place to remain open so those who are not even yet born will have a place to hear. They don't have to stand idle but can get to work. Have a place where they can hear the gospel and know they're saved. Are you waiting around to see if that new pastor is finally going to start bringing in new families? It doesn't work that way. If you're sitting around waiting for me to grow the church, you're going to be waiting forever. That vineyard job was given to you, primarily. I'm your support network, not the other way around. I'm here to preach to you and to teach you God's word. I'm here to administer the sacraments to you, to strengthen you so that you can go out and you can do that job. I go out and do that job too, but it's not just the pastor's role. The flock is to reach the world. I can only touch so many. If all of us can touch those people in our circles of influence, we can do a lot better job. And that's how the vineyard grows. That's how people receive God's good news. You are the miracle God will work in their lives. You are a miracle from God. I hope you see yourself that way. I hope you see yourself as God's greatest miracle to those in your life. That's how important you are. That's how precious you are. You are the most valued employee in God's entire company to someone. You are that needed. You're doing your job is that needed. If you don't do your job, no one else will do it for you. And there will be consequences for others. You are a miracle, my friends. He hired you to be his miracle, to be his hands and his feet, to carry his good news to people, to be his ears and to listen to them, and then to be his mouth and to speak his word into their hearts, so they would know Christ on the cross for them. That's the miracle you are to people. Did you catch the point in the epistle reading? The point in the 1 Corinthians reading? Paul talked about Moses. We heard about Moses in the Old Testament. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God wasn't pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-5. You hear the sacramental language there? Baptism through the sea. Spiritual food and drink, communion in Christ. The rock that is Christ was there. Paul's talking about church life. The Israelites were living their church life. Nevertheless, we're told, with most of them, God wasn't pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's alarming. It should make us pay attention. You might say, even though they were going through their Sunday morning routine, they weren't living out their faith throughout the week as God's people. What is it that James says? Show me your faith apart from works, as if you could, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:18. Those are the words of a worker. One who has already been hired, and because he has faith in Jesus, is participating in the work of Jesus and knows the value of hard work. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works, apart from being a worker in the vineyard, is dead. James 2:26, with a little bit of our gospel thrown in. Doing the work of spreading the gospel in real life, in tangible ways, that, my dear friends, can only be done by those who've been saved. By you. You've been saved. Stand idle no more. You've been put to work through God's generosity. He loves you. And so, apart from anything you've done, apart from anything you could do or you will do, you are hired. You're on the payroll. Praise be to God. He saved you. Christ did that on the cross because he loves you. That's where he paid his treasure. Treasure that is more valuable than money to put you on the books. His body and his blood. That assures you, you've been saved. You've been forgiven. You've been given the kingdom of God as your inheritance. You're working for that. Not to earn it, but because you got it. And that's your goal. That's your mission. To share that kingdom with other people. You are Christ's. Now come, taste and see and know you are workers in his vineyard. Christians, justified by Christ alone. Hired, redeemed, and restored. Salvation, it's yours, baby. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.